So, just like always, we have this internal struggle, and then we have this fighting for the getting the process of preparing for the elections in 22. We're starting to communicate a little bit better, not perfectly, with the members, various other teams within the platform. Committees that or boards that lead certain regions and cities, and it is interesting how in the last 6 months everything became so contentious that one thing that happened was that in the past 10 days, and I don't think we talked about it, I was invited by one by a businessman who owns a large factory. To did we talk about it
No, you told me you were
already?
going to do it, yeah.
Invited me to visit him in Gratunice. A city in the region of Sava, the River Sava. And then I responded to his invitation, and he came up with we're setting up a meeting with 13, 14 other people, most of them businessmen or women. And it was really nice day. Talking with him, visiting his company, and then talking to all of those people about the situation in the country and the platform for progress. But that visit, which was supposed to be good because you're trying to drum up support, and perhaps some of them will at some point support financially the party. Some of the members of the regional board, the regions, objected. Some members from Gratunice objected that I didn't communicate with them about the visit, engage them, involve them in the visit. And the interesting side of that is that on one hand, there is this internal struggle between somebody in our Gratianica board and that businessman, and didn't like the fact that I'm talking to that person. Second, it's the desire to control me, where I can go, where I cannot go. And that's the part of that agenda. When somebody wants something bad to do to the organization, then touches everything. And I rejected that notion. And then they start discussions like, what I'm doing is just to fund my presidential campaign. And so those, the internal struggles, completely lie, based on lies, continue. And we're going to sort it out. The thing is that we have this disciplinary commission, and we have the Court of Honor, or whatever you call it, Sudchast, Honor Court, that we initiated processing, through which we initiated processes against certain people who contributed to the struggles inside. On the outside, it is interesting. I'm starting to think about the strategy for the elections. Need to talk about the last peace protest march, not peace, well, protest march in Sarajevo. At the end, I called for the formation of the alternative government, or government that will save the country, basically. Inviting anybody and everybody, all the intellectuals, nonprofits, non-governmental organizations, even political parties, businessmen, workers, pensioners, retirees, anybody who can contribute to a different way of thinking about the country. And I would like to come up with, not clearly anybody who says I would like to, but maybe 15, 20 people who could come up with a document about the basic elements of the changes to the Constitution, the basic elements of the reform of the judicial system, of the educational system, of the healthcare system, culture, sports, arts, healthcare. People who basically said, here's what needs to happen in this country. And then ask all the political parties to basically subscribe. And if not subscribe, then tell us what could or should be changed. But that the voters know that there is some coherent thinking about the future of the country by people who normally don't have the media attention on them, but have something to say. And in addition, people could see that those are the ones that we will ask to implement those ideas should we assume power in any sense of the word power after the elections of 2022. I was invited on the national TV and one CNN affiliate to talk about many things, including that. And so they asked me if anybody responded to that public call. And basically I said, not in terms of political parties, but many citizens did, with suggestions who should we invite. And we have a pretty good list of 25, 30 people that could be really helpful in creating such a vision of the country. That will produce a set of documents clearly specifying what needs to happen in the country for it to assume its march toward the progress, or to resume. It used to be like that. Since then, there was another businessman from Doboj, city of Doboj, who Doboj South, who invited me to, and I say Doboj South because what used to be city of Doboj is now divided into three municipalities. And one of them is in Republika Srpska, it's called Doboj. The other two, Doboj East and Doboj South, are in the Federacija, or Federation of Bosnia and Herzegovina. And he organized a visit where we visited his company, another company of his friends, and one of the non-profit organizations that takes care of horses, but the horses have a special role. They are helping children with special needs. So we visited that as well, and then the mayor of that municipality, Doboj South, basically hosted us first before the visit, and stayed with us throughout the whole visit, even though he's from a different political party, which was very nice of him. And what I learned at that time, and just like what I learned in Gračanica, is what businessmen and women, those who produce good services in this country, who keep it alive in the financial sense, the employers, I learned from them what needs to happen in terms of government action toward employers. in order for them to be even more effective, to be able to make more, employ more people, increase the exports. Many ideas, and it was so interesting that it almost feels like nobody's asking those people what needs to be done. And my task now is to really figure out the program, concrete set of actions that we would take, offer to the voters, and then act up on them once we are elected. Or have a chance to represent the people at various levels of government. It is interesting that in the public media, the situation in the political discourse in Bosnia Herzegovina, things are actually getting more complicated. Besides the nationalist parties, there is in the federation there is a group coalition that's called the three parties. Right. In the Republika Srpska, there is a coalition the three in opposition to the main nationalist parties. The one on the federation side, the three, one of the head of one of the three parties making that coalition resigned over the weekend over something. I don't know all the details. Somebody who I spoke with in the past frequently, very nice person, capable. And that also, it is interesting, within the three, they actually won in Sarajevo in the last election, local elections, big time. And they determined many of the mayors within the city of Sarajevo and the surrounding municipalities. They were able to do that because they acted as one. Often they had one, joint candidates. They had joint candidates on the list. This time they are announcing that it's possible that for the presidential elections, they might, two of those three parties might have their own candidates, which is very unusual. It would be unusual that they have one candidate they support for the candidate to have a chance to win. Because if you put any more than one opponent to the candidate from the nationalist party, the national party wins because the other two or three, four split the votes, and therefore nobody has enough. And there is no second round of voting, and therefore the person with the highest number of votes actually wins. Why is that interesting? Because as we are thinking about our political future, going alone, forming a coalition of our own, or joining an existing coalition, joining the three was an option to be the four. But if this turbulence actually does damage to the three, the fact that one of them, the three people who were aligned, who were holding this together, the leaders of the parties, now there's two of them. The fact is that there is some animosity among them. The fact they are going away from the joint list and having their own candidates fighting against each other indicates that there are some dark clouds over that coalition. Will it sustain itself all the way through the election in 2022, which may influence our political thinking about who do we go with, or do we go alone again, which is ideologically the right thing to do, practically, pragmatically, and not a wise thing to do, because in such a case, again, there's a splitting of the votes on the side of the parties that are for democracy, for the equal rights of all the citizens, and so on. So it is going to be slow time, and it has slowed down politically, but it doesn't mean that things are not happening. And so we have to be active all the time and alert. So we're trying to find a way to get to the public when we can. I think this idea of the alternative government, I need to work on it, set up meetings with the people I'd like to see in that role, and then going on one issue at a time to figure out what needs to happen in this country. It is interesting that the European Parliament had a session, and then they talked about Bosnia and Herzegovina as well. They rejected overtures from the Croatian representatives to include some of the issues regarding constituent peoples, constitutive, as they say, peoples within Bosnia and Herzegovina to be in the document, that the resolution, declaration signed by the European Union Parliament, and they rejected it, which is really great news for Bosnia and Herzegovina, simply because if we go down the constitutive part, meaning three tribes, three ethnic groups share equally power, and then you have to be a proper member, representative of that ethnic group in order to be electable. And who decides who is proper? Nationalists decide who is a proper representative, and so on. To join the European Union, we have to have democracy that's based on the equal rights of all the citizens on the whole territory of Bosnia and Herzegovina, which is what nationalists don't want to see happen. And so that is also an interesting development, that the European Union is finally showing its teeth, as the saying goes. We are going to have a change in the, it was sometime in August, of the high representative in Bosnia and Herzegovina, the person from Austria. Mr. Insko is leaving, and Mr. Schmidt from Germany is coming, and he indicated that he will be tougher than the previous one, and Mr. Insko, and that he will consider using bone powers, which is the right to make any decision as a dictator, any decision on any matter, introduce laws, strike down laws if necessary, in order to get the country moving up in the right direction, which is something that the nationalists certainly didn't want to hear. And they are up in the arms against it. So that is going to be interesting. Everybody's waiting for the United States to get more engaged, and that all will reflect on ours, in our position as well. Anyway, so really slow period, so not much to say.
Doesn't sound very slow to me. But first question, in terms of the coalition, I mean, it's kind of an obvious question, but how much more difficult does it make it for you to pitch the idea of a coalition is the way to go, as opposed to doing it on your own, when you see these other coalitions dissolving from within, from what they're trying? It's, I mean, they got the mayorships and everything in Sarajevo, and then all of a sudden everything starts falling apart for the better. So
that's a very good perception. One of the parties, the one that is going through the change of leadership right now, has seen a steady, according to the media, a steady decline, I presume, in members or in or is going through some challenging times, which is unusual. I mean, you have some decent success in the election, and then you're going through some tough times. And you're right. Those things, just like this one, struggle within the coalition, struggle where a member, a party that's a member of the coalition, has some internal struggles and struggles in terms of its relationship with other members of the same coalition. Those things do send a sign of warning, and certainly gives more arguments to our members who claim never with anybody, we are different, let's go alone. And which is simply pointing that we have to be careful in both the analysis of the situation and the possibilities, and explaining those arguments for the option that we choose to present to our members. And as with all the major decisions, we will go to our members for the final decision on either a coalition or anything else when it comes to a political direction of the party. So yes, it certainly points in the direction of us getting stronger on our own before any decision needs to be made. And that simply means that people who are active in the political life have the trust of the people of Bosnia-Herzegovina and are not aligned with any political party, see if they will be ready to join Platform for Progress in our thinking about the future, about the country, designing the programs. So we'll see. But you're right. It makes it harder, more difficult.
And I know we've talked about it before, but how soon do you have to make some sort of a decision as to which way you're going to go for 2022?
Well, I'm assuming that the decision on the presidential run will have to be decided in September, perhaps October at the latest. Decision on coalitions will probably have to be done in a similar time frame, no later than October, because we have to create a list of our candidates for the election in 2022 by the end of the year, because we need some time to work with them, prepare them, create a campaign. You have to know who they are to create a campaign around them. Therefore, we don't have too much time. I'm not sure we'll be much smarter when it comes to that decision in September. But such is life. We have to do something that we have to make choices, because, you know, it's different, obviously, when you are the only party going in for the election. Then you have to find as many candidates as you can. But if you're in a coalition and you create one list, a joint list, if that is the kind of coalition, then you have fewer members, candidates on your side to find. And that is also why some people resent any coalitions, because their chances of being candidates is lower. You know, if you have three parties in the coalition, then one third, not necessarily true, but let's say on average, one third will come from your party as opposed to 100%. So by definition, people are against it, anything like it, because of personal interest. Nothing else.
Yeah, so that's an additional complication. You know, personal interest, which is normal, but it can actually derail the whole focus. The purpose of the party, the purpose is to help the country, the big vision. The country is in front of the
or ahead of the party, country first, the party second, forget that. We see that everywhere, the people flip it. What is it, what's in it for me? What's for the party? Then for the country, third. It should be the other way around. The country, the party, then you. Really hard. It's everywhere. It's in the United States now, too, it seems like.
No, I mean, that was exactly what I was thinking when you were saying that. It's like, you know, the big picture of the country and everything else is going by the wayside because egos, once again, are playing a key role.
What's in it for me is the basic principle in politics, and I learned that here. It's not something I can associate with, I understand. But I don't support it at all, because doing that, the country cannot be a good one, cannot be orderly, cannot be efficient, cannot be just, cannot be effective. People say that's the reality of the situation. Well, let's change the reality.
Well, and when you were speaking about, and this isn't going to be an assumption on my part, but when you were talking about meeting with the business leaders and forming, I'll use the word coalition, but a group of individuals that can come together as somewhat of a think tank and propose ideas and then have these ideas part of your message, but also, oh, by the way, to the ruling parties, these are the issues that people want to know about. What are you going to do about it? Is this the first time something like that has really been tried with what you're doing?
I cannot say that we invented the concept. It's been known, but I'm not sure that it has ever been tried with any sincerity to it in Bosnia-Herzegovina, and we'll see how that will go. I love the concept because it shows responsibility. It makes you think about the future. It puts you in touch with other people who have something to say about the future, and it's not something what the mainstream media gives you. It puts name to ideas. It makes people responsible for something. They have to promise something to people. And then we tell them. It's not going to be like we assume power, then we think about the people. No, you know the people before you vote. Here's what we will do, and here are the people who will be responsible for doing it. We'll see.
Well, will it... Do you feel like by doing it this way that in some way it will put some additional pressure on the ruling parties to at least address things, and if they don't, people will see? I don't know. I mean, I'm looking at it from the ideal. It's like it would make sense that it would put pressure on these people, and if they don't, the voters will say, we've had enough.
That would be the case if the voting was fair. Right now, they're simply just concerned with money. Money. Being elected in power means money. And the only thing they're trying to figure out is how to be elected. Anything else that we do that even can help remotely the country, the only task that they perceive is to somehow derail it. Derail any of the efforts that would lessen their chances or lower their chances of winning. And they know the only way for them to win is the tension in the country, the fear of others. And that's all what they are doing, stroking those fears, playing the nationalist game. And all of this is this battle between these two concepts. And for us to be successful, We have to reduce this, the whole thing, just to those two. Constituent peoples, representative people, ethnic-based ruling or thinking, deciding about the future of the country, or civic or citizen-based. That is why I'm really disappointed. I asked parties to come together to figure out how we can act, coordinate together, and they're not politically, I would say, sophisticated enough to realize that we have to work together. They all keep thinking about their personal and their partial, their party interests. Cannot think about a country first. So I abandoned the idea of working with parties, convincing them that we should really coordinate our activities, because it's not going to happen through them. And I'm now switching to the sensibility of intellectuals, people, individuals who can do something, and at least we can offer and go directly to the citizens, give them that as a program.
And just one last one. You had mentioned, once again, the disciplinary commission. Where do things stand in terms of review of individuals and those sorts of things?
That is structured almost as a court, where they have their own, each side has representatives, lawyers, who will present evidence, and then whatever they decide, they actually, that is their recommendation to the presidency, as we call it, the governing board of Platform for Progress. Their recommendation for the set of actions against those people or not. And then the presidency can decide to support it or lower it, cannot up it, cannot make it more stringent. For example, if the disciplinary commission says we recommend expulsion, we can actually support it or say no, let's just provide a written warning. But if they come back with written warning, we can accept the written warning and go with verbal warning, but we cannot say let's go through the expulsion. So basically they limit the possibility. And if they say acquittal, then it's acquittal. There's nothing can be done. That is why, and that's the only mechanism for us to act. Other parties have a presidency that can simply say you're out. You did this, you're out. We cannot. We have that process. And the process can last from 3 to 6 months, which is unfortunate, because we are bleeding right now. We are bleeding for another 3 to 6 months, allowing people who have really acted against the interests of the Platform for Progress to continue doing that while the process is going, which is unfortunate.